Yeah, you want to make sure you have a Bible. You want to make sure you've got the playbook, because it's got everything that's going to happen. Well, it doesn't seem to have everything. Well, no, it does. It's just you don't understand what it all, you know, how it all fits together. It's okay, because it's a pretty big book. It's got a lot in it. But if you'll just let yourself avail yourself of it, read it. You don't even have to read it cover to cover, left to right. I mean, you could read it, you know, one book this side on the New Testament side, another book on the Old Testament side. You know, it'd be good to read it probably cover to cover, just to kind of get a general timeline, right? Especially read, you know, Genesis. You know, that's a good one to read. But of course, you don't have a big timeline right there in Genesis. And Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know, and then they have groups of prophets. You have the Psalms. Well, you need to read the Psalms just to encourage yourself and build yourself up. Then you read get to the New Testament. The New Testament talks about Jesus. Now, Jesus was promised in the Old Testament. And Jesus was, he's the Savior of the world. He's God's Son who came to deliver you from the power of sin and death and destruction into the presence of the Father at the end of time. Time ends at the end of this world. Eternity begins, for you, eternity, listen, begins when you receive Jesus. Doesn't mean this body's going to live eternally, but it means that life eternal begins the moment that you receive Jesus as your Savior. Amen. I mean, all of a sudden, the insides of you are jumping up and down. It's like, you know, eating something delicious, you know, is that everything is going my way. Now, it doesn't look like it on the outside. Sometimes it doesn't look like everything's going your way, like we're going to read right here. All right? Because God knows what time in history that you're showing up. He knows exactly where you are. You don't need to wish you lived in this time or that time. You know, is God put you in the place you're in right now so that He could use you and so that you can enjoy His presence, all right? So over here in Daniel, and we're going to talk about taking no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. Now, Jesus says that over several times in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, take no thought for your life. In other words, don't be taking stock and trying to find out how everything is going and how it's going to. It doesn't mean don't have a plan. It just means don't be overly engaged and involved in what's going wrong or even honestly what's going right. But have your attention focused on the Lord your God, the living God, because He will walk you through everything that's coming. Amen. He did that for Jesus. He did that for Adam, even though he ate that tree. God already still took care of him. You know, God is taking care of, God took care of Moses. God took care of Isaac. God took care of Jacob. God took care of Abraham. God took care of Dan, and God took care of Chad. God took care of Janet, and God took care of Joe. So God is taking care of you. He's taking care of me. Amen. So he says here, I hesitate not to read the whole thing, but I don't want to read it all just because it takes more time. Look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. And the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that is his servants, that he should have certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed. See, what had happened is the Babylon had gone into Israel and taken over Israel. And what you do when you're in ancient civilization is you take the best and the brightest of all the people who are worth something. All those is HB1 visa. Is that a good one?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Yeah. They it's an HB1 transfer. They transfer all the super duper people out of that society, and they bring them all the way over to this, to your new city, and they plug them in. They plug them into various positions and places and make them a part of this new society. And of course, you know, they don't have cars, they don't have, you know, they don't have resources. So you just plug them in an office, put them in a cubicle, and put them to work. And give them a new name. Give them a new ID. That's what they do. They just move you out of, if you lived in Dallas, they'd move you out of Dallas and move you to Mexico City. Well, you don't know anything about Mexico City. At least I don't. And so they'd move you down there and you'd be, all of a sudden your life has changed. And you have no way to get out. You have no resources to get out. This is what they would do. They would take loads of people and just ship them off to the home city. And that's what they did to these young men. Daniel was one of them. So there in verse 3, and the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom he was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning and knowledge, college-educated, didn't say that, but, and understanding science, such as had the ability to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans weren't just a nation. The Chaldeans were like these, the mystery men, the guys who knew everything about everything. They were like the Magi the wise men. That's what these guys were. The top wisdom of the nation and of the age. Verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of wine, the wine that he drank. So nourishing them 3 years, and at the end of thereof they might stand before the king. So I said, the first 3 years, you're going to sit there and just be in the king's palace, and they're going to kind of indoctrinate you. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave to Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. So they changed their names now, right? And to Hananiah the name of, y'all know these, right? Shadrach. And to Mishael the name of Meshach. And to Azariah the name of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he should not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. See, he had dietary restrictions from his faith in the Hebrew religion, right? So he has these certain things, and he is determined that he is going to keep himself under the authority of God. He's not putting himself under the authority of the king. He will be under the authority of God. Now he is trusting God during this period of time. So he goes to the chief of the eunuchs and he says that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel, verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So he'd built that relationship with them. They'd been there, you know, a little while. And when the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face as worse liking? He knows that the food that he's going to give them is going to make them, you know, kind of healthy looking or maybe even put weight on them. Huh? Well, they want to be vegan, but they don't want to eat what the king has, because the king's going to make them fat, you know, make them kingly looking. And the king's appointed your meat and drink. What can I do? You know, I don't want to get myself killed. They wouldn't fire you in these days. If you didn't do what the king told you to do on these guys, they'd just kill you and get somebody else. They'd just finish you off. Things were a little rougher back then. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort, like you people? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove your servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us pulse or vegetables to eat and water to drink. I mean, just a real lightweight meal. Then our countenance be looked upon before you, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as you see, deal with your... And as you see, then you see what happens and see how we look. And you deal with us when at the end of those 10 days. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, that their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children that were eating all the king's food. So even eating the light meal, gave them the look, and so they were able to keep their hearts. See, they determined to keep their heart. And God favored them in the presence of the king and in the presence of the managers. God favored them. So as you keep your heart, don't think that, well, we gotta do what the king says, otherwise we'll all get in trouble and this guy get killed, you know. He said, give us a shot. You know, just let us do this. Let us eat these vegetables and water, and God will keep us. And God will make us look exactly like you need us to look so that the king is happy. So, but keep your heart. Amen? Keep your heart. Whatever God tells you to do, do what God tells you to do. Don't sucker into the things of this world. Amen? Because the world wants to turn you into itself. The world wants to have you follow their path and their ways and their procedures. But God said, you live like I tell you to, and I'm going to show you some things you don't know. Over in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things you do not know. That's the scripture God gave me when I was a young man, is that some prophetic folks were in our church. And she pulled me aside. She and her husband pulled me aside and said, here's the scripture for you. Here's the scripture God give you. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. Amen. So God's going to do that for you. He gave it to me, but I mean, it's in the Bible, so you might as well take it. Amen. You're going to take it? Praise the Lord. So Daniel purposed, listen, and what he said was, so Daniel purposed in his heart not to be, verse 8 back here, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Amen? So he purposed himself. He purposed in himself. He wasn't going to do that. And I'm going to purpose in myself to be happy all the time. I'm going to purpose in myself to not be overwhelmed by the things of this world. Amen? Because there's all kinds of things. And that's part of taking no thought for your life. You know, you're looking at your life and you're trying to make some kind of a way that you can protect yourself. Just purpose in your heart. You're going to follow the kings and eat what God has told you to eat. Eat His Word. Eat the Word of God. Purpose in your heart. Amen? You know, it talks about that for like giving your offerings. It says, every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Knowing that God loves a cheerful giver. So you're not giving because you're under some obligation. You're giving because you know that God takes care of you. That you're giving because there are needs out there that need to be met, and God's given you a provision to meet them. Or he says, just meet that need and I'll take care of you. You know, God is going to take care of you. You just learn how to give. You learn how to give, whether it's your time, whether it's your resources, or whether it's just cash money. You know, you learn how to give. Now, give wisely. Don't just give, you know, just to get somebody off your case or out of your face. Don't give like that. Amen? Give because you heard God say, okay, meet that need. Meet that need. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Amen? Take no thought for your life. What that means is, again, don't be consumed with, well, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? See, Daniel, instead of just doing what the king said, it was possible that he could be killed for that. Or they put him in the dungeon or whatever. And he finally does get in trouble, you know. Daniel does finally get in trouble, but God gets him out. Take no thought for your life. Everybody say that. Take no thought for your life. Amen. All right, over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. So if you have an opportunity to be anxious for something, he says, be anxious for nothing. Careful, full of care. King James says careful. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, 6. So it says, be careful, or you full of care, overwhelmed with care. Some of the translations say anxious, full of anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. Are you anxious? Stop it. Stop it. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, so you have nothing and you have everything right there in the same sentence. So be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, what things soever are true, what things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. So be anxious for nothing, but think on things that are good, righteous, just, lovely, of a good report. Yeah, you know, so many of us we complain and we, you know, look at things. You know people, right? Who they spend their life and their days complaining. Because they're taking thought as to how that's going to affect them. They're constantly looking at, this is going to affect me. This is going, the word A-F-F-E-C-T. It's going to affect me. It's going to affect me in a way that I don't know that I'm really happy about. So you're examining everything that's coming your way rather than saying, I'm loving my neighbor. I'm loving those. Everything is going my way. Amen. Everything is going my way. Pastor Jim used to say that, right? You know, or at least I do. You know, everything is going my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh my. What a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine going my way. You just carry on. You know, it's like over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, when Paul says, I have become a fool in glorying. Because, you know, what God told him right there, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Though he had asked the Lord three times to get rid of a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me because of the abundance of revelations. I besought the Lord three times. Lord, three. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I besought the Lord three times to get rid of this thing. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Then he defined it further. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul said then, he took that and said, okay. Therefore, I will rather rejoice in my infirmities that the power of Christ, so that there's an effect. If I rejoice in my infirmities, the power of Christ rests upon me. Then he goes on to say, I will become a fool in glory. It'll look really dumb. This will look like, yeah, you can't believe how ridiculous I look. I'm thanking God in the midst of the worst situations, and people are looking at me going, is he crazy? Why would he rejoice in that? It's because when I am weak, then I'm strong. So you meditate on these things. These are the things. Taking no thought for your life. Don't take yourself seriously, as you've heard us say before. Don't take yourself quite so seriously. Taking no thought for your life. Matthew chapter 6. If you come to this church, you'll get a workout. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If it was dark in here and I had my eyes open, what, you know, I couldn't see anything. But where do I see? When the light comes on, where do I see things? With my eye. I see things. It's the light of the body. It lets the light in. It lets everything that is in front of me, it lets me see it all. The light of the body is the eye. If there, your eye be single, how you see, what you see. Because what you see determines usually what you do. Now you have, if your eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But if your eye be evil, depressed, angry, fearful, looking at everything in a way that it's going to get you and how it's going, because you're taking thought for your life. You're looking at everything and wondering how it's going to knock you down and how you're going to have to stand to make sure that nothing gets you. You know, Robert, a friend of ours, Robert Moore, he used to say how the world's version of the golden rule is this. Do others before they do you. Amen. What is what we call the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But the world's version of that is do them before they do you. And so you've got that idea, this if your eye be evil. So if you have an expectation that evil is coming to you, then your whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now this is Matthew 6, that was 23, now 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, God and money, God and things. Verse 25, now here's our take no thought verses here. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, that they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Well, I thought about that once. And I didn't get any taller. You know, Joe, we didn't get any taller doing that. Taking thought. It's spending time thinking about what cannot be, what will not be changed. And why take you thought for raiment, verse 28, clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of, what's he calling you? O you of little faith. O you of little faith. Take no thought for yourself. God will take care of you. You know, if you're born again, God will take care of you. Do you believe that? Sure. Say, yes, I do. Now, I don't care if you didn't believe it before you just said it. And you said it because the preacher made you say it. Yes, I do. I believe that. God is going to take care of me. Take no thought for yourself. And again, it doesn't mean don't pay your electric bill. Don't put the money in the bank. Don't spend it all somewhere. What it means is don't be anxious over these things. Do what you know to do. Oh, she's coming. Do what you know to do. God is taking care of you. Amen. So 31. Therefore, listen, take no thought saying. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes your thoughts come out of your mouth, don't they? You ever notice that? Your thoughts come out of your mouth. It starts dribbling out of your mouth. You know, your irritation, your anger, your disappointment, your fear. It starts dribbling out of your lips and dribbling down your chin, getting all over your clothes. You know, that's you taking thought for your life. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we put on? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's talking to the Jews out here on the Sermon on the Mount. You guys are just like the Gentiles. You guys are as if you didn't even have a God. That's what he's saying. He's saying you guys are acting like you don't even have a God. I mean, you've had the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob forever. Take no thought. Take no thought. Here, this is a thought. Let's see here. This is a thought. Would you take that, Chad? Chad, God's speaking to you. He says, take no thought.
Even it's a good one.
No, it's not a good one. It's a bad one.
Oh,
it's a bad thought. Here, worry about what you're going to put on. Worry about something. You know, how many know if a package comes to your house, you can refuse it? You don't have to just take it. You know, somebody brings it. No, I'm not signing for that. Take it away. Get it out of here. Take no thought saying. Take no thought receiving. So saying or receiving it. Sometimes, see, saying things is you receiving what the enemy is bringing. Well, I just don't, it's bad, it came right here, and it's sitting right there on the front row. You know, it came into my living room, it's bad. It might be a bad report. Amen? It might be a bad report. Well, here's some bad report there, Raul, about your body and all that stuff. He says, take no thought saying. He's bringing you a thought, he's going to give it to you, and you're going to take it. And how are you going to take it? By saying it, by repeating it. Now you might say, "Oh, brother, that's a little fearful." No, it's how those things come. How do they get into your mind? You keep saying it. Remember the lady who had the issue of blood to come behind Jesus? Now her kept saying was good, for she came up behind him, but she had gone to all the doctors and was none the better, spent all of her money, but she heard about Jesus and she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. For she kept saying, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She kept saying, for she kept saying, for she kept saying. She took that thought and said it. And then what happened to her when she touched the hem of his garment? She became whole because she kept saying. But there's another way you can do that. is that you can take some thought from the enemy saying, and you continue to repeat that, and you continue to put it in your mind. You know, if you keep eating the same junk time after time after time, that's going to affect your body, isn't it? It's going to make you fat or make you kill you or something. You know, if you keep doing it time after time, same is true. Is in your mind. You continue to say something over and over. You meditate on it over and over again, and it'll become part of you. You'll wake up thinking that. You'll go to sleep thinking that. You'll be full of fear and full of anxiety. But no, we take it. David said, the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. We remember what we read over in Philippians. It said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are a good report, think on these things, doesn't it? The Bible tells you how to think. The Bible tells you how to think. Be not conformed to this world, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what are we doing? We're taking no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. Okay, keep looking at this again. Let's back in Matthew chapter 6. Take no thought saying all of these things. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first. So take no thought, but seek first the kingdom of God. Tell your neighbor that, and I don't mean this one here. I just mean tell your neighbor, you know, the one you're thinking about right now that needs to hear this. The person who's taking thought all the time. Their constant conversation is how everything's going wrong. Sit down with a cup of coffee, if you want. Coffee, you know, we talked coffee this morning. Tea. Sit down with them and encourage them. You're the best encourager they may have. You are the encourager. Jesus went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts chapter 1. Jesus went around doing good. You know what? Cynthia goes around doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. It's because she's full of the Holy Ghost. She's full of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost walks around in her and just puts good news on everybody. That's why you're here. You're not here to do anything else than to dispense the gospel of Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why we're having this little church. You know, that's why somebody has a big church. Is not to do anything more than to spread the word of God so that on the day that Jesus comes, that we all are able to go home with him and walk in eternal life. Again, I'm telling you today, remember that you are living eternal life already. You're living eternal life from the moment you said, Jesus, come into my heart. Last verse here in Matthew 6, that take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take care of the things of itself. Sufficient to every day is the evil thereof. There's enough to think about today. Don't be worried about tomorrow. That doesn't mean don't plan your tomorrow. Doesn't mean don't have your day timer. That's what they used to call them. Little calendar you used to write on. You know. Doesn't mean don't pay attention to what you're doing. It's just don't worry about it. Don't have anxiety about it. Don't be full of care about it. Amen. You remember when I said that when the eye is single, over in James chapter 1, verse 8, he says the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Look over at James chapter 1. James James chapter 1. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man, the one who's wavering, think he shall receive anything of the Lord. He's a one opinion and then the other opinion. See, when you're talking about, if your whole body is, if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is single, one, you have one view. It's not, well, God loves me or God doesn't love me. God's for me, God's against me. You don't know. You don't know. In this, your eye is single. God is for me. God is for me. Who can be against me? If God be for you, who can be against me? Amen. He says, the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So you're nervous, you're fearful, you don't know your left hand from your right hand. He says the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Always know this, is God loves you and he's on your side. Amen. If you've received the Lord Jesus, he's living on the inside of you and he's manifesting his love in you. I want to read something to you out of Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations? My gosh, why would we read that? That's terrible. Sounds like somebody's crying. Now, Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. And it was talking, it's a Lamentations, lamenting things. It's crying over things. Amen? People who cry over things. And here I want to read this little piece, because what will happen to you is this little part of Lamentations, it's like a psalm, really. It's like a psalm that he's observing the things that have gone wrong with Israel and observing the things that might have gone wrong. But listen to this. Here, right in the middle of Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, he says, this I recall to my mind. This I recall to my mind. Do you know you can recall stuff to your mind? Your mind is, make it the renewing of your mind. Back like that over there in Romans chapter 12, right? Is you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? That you might demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now you look at Lamentations 3, 21. Here's what he practices. He says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. So you come over here and you bring this to mind. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Wow, your soul is all of a sudden talking. Your soul is all of a sudden speaking up. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Amen. All right. So it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Now, here looking at all of these things, when he's saying that it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, he's telling you, take no thought for your life. Amen. Now, over here in Galatians chapter 5, just a couple more scriptures. Galatians chapter 5. He says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's a yoke? You remember we talked about that a few weeks ago with the yoke of bondage. And we're going to turn right back over to Matthew 11. Yeah. Okay. So stand fast. Everybody stand fast. Stand solid, secure. Stand fast, immovable. In the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Christ made you free. You're standing in His liberty. And be not entangled again. Again. Oh, I guess we were, before we used to be entangled. And be entangled again. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What yoke are we talking about? Over in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Jesus says, come to me, verse 28, come to me all you that labor and are heavy laden. You got a burden on you. Maybe that's a thought you took for your life. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Excuse me. Take my yoke upon you. Remember, don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What did we read in Galatians? Be not entangled again, because you had one yoke and you replaced it with another one. Amen? So you got to make sure you have the right yoke on in the morning. Amen? Maybe you could say, take no yoke for yourself. Take no yoke for yourself. Take no thought for yourself. Amen? Take no thought saying. Let's look at that one more time. Take no thought saying. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. See, all of these things, taking a thought, remember, it's like I showed you earlier, is that I'm the devil and I want to deliver something to you. I want to deliver you some thought or some worry, some circumstance that might come that you can be otherwise occupied from loving your neighbor, just sharing the good news of Jesus with your neighbor. So I want us to meditate today. Takeaway is taking no thought. Here comes a thought. Just refuse that thought, which is going to take your time and energy and thought life away from meditating on the goodness of God and the finished work that He is performing on the inside of you right now. He is always consistently working in you to manifest His goodness, His love, His peace. So remember these things. Amen? It's like when you take the Lord's Supper we're fixing to take. Why did He give you the Lord's Supper? So that you would what? Remember. Right? Amen. So God is good. Take no thought saying. Take no thought for the morrow. Therefore, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. Father, we just love you. Thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you that you're commanding us to take no thought for our life. And we give you glory. We give you praise.